Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. I thought we'd talk about tonight, while we're waiting on our first call, about discipleship. What is the cost of discipleship? A lot of people think there is no cost to being a disciple of Christ. First, let's define the word disciple. I just got this from my Random House College Dictionary. Disciple, meaning a pupil of another, a follower. In this case, we're supposed to be a pupil of another or a follower of Jesus Christ. That's who we're supposed to be a disciple of. Now, let's illustrate with Gandhi. A person says he's a follower of Gandhi. What does he mean? Gandhi's dead. He means he studies Gandhi's teachings and he follows his teachings. It doesn't just mean he believed Gandhi existed. That's not really being a follower of Gandhi. Likewise with Christ, to be a disciple or a follower of Christ, it's not just believing he existed, it's studying his teachings and following his teachings. Everybody can understand that being a disciple of Gandhi means more than just believing Gandhi existed, but for some reason they think being a disciple of Christ just means believe Jesus existed. No, a disciple means a follower, one who studies his teachings and follows his teachings. And there's a cost to following the teachings of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Luke 14 and read 27 and 28 and make a point from that. Luke 14, 27 and 28. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? You cannot be a disciple of Christ unless you're willing to bear his cross. Now, the cross for Christ represented his sacrifice. So I think the cross for us, bearing his cross, would mean making sacrifices for Christ. And then Luke here illustrates, if you're thinking about building a tower, you would sit down and count the cost first. What we think of as a house instead of a tower. There's this house about 6 or 8 miles from where I live. It looks like they got about halfway done. Maybe they already owned the property, and maybe the house was going to cost $100,000 to build, but they only got halfway done. Maybe they ran out of money when they spent $50,000. And so the house is just sitting there. Nobody's living in it. It's like they threw the $50,000 down the drain. You're going to build a house. You better make sure that you got enough to finish the house, or you're just throwing your money down the toilet. And that's the point here. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, there's going to be some cost. You're going to have to give up some things for Jesus to be his follower. Make sure before you start being a follower of Christ that you're willing to pay those costs. That's the point of Jesus. Most preachers say there is no cost. It's all just a bed of roses. There is no counting the cost because there is no cost to count. But the whole point of this is, before you become a disciple of Christ, make sure you're willing to pay the cost. So obviously there are some costs. 4 points in this lesson. Being a disciple of Christ might cost us monetarily. Being a disciple of Christ might cost us some pleasures. Well, it will cost us sinful pleasures. This is a surprising one. Being a disciple of Christ might cost us our current religion or church. That surprises some people. How could being a disciple of Christ cost you your current religion or church? And number 4, being a disciple of Christ might cost you with family. Well, why would it cost you with your church, current religion or church? Well, if you're part of a church that's not following the truth, you're going to end up having to leave that church or that religion to follow Christ. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to follow his teachings. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Will that number work, Ed? Let me know that 877-655-6755 should work tonight. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 877-655-6755. So being a disciple of Christ might cost us monetarily. I want to illustrate that with the story of Zacchaeus. We remember that story growing up. The wee little man couldn't see Jesus, climbed a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. I'm just going to read enough of the story to get the point here. Luke 19, first verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So that's who Zacchaeus was. A publican was a tax collector. Tax collectors in that day were notoriously dishonest. You didn't have your mailing in your taxes in the mail. You had a person that went around collecting taxes, and he got a commission. Let's say you owed $100 taxes for the year. And his job was to go collect the taxes for you, and maybe he got to collect, maybe he got to keep $10. His commission was 10%. But if he could tell you a lie and convince you you owed $125 taxes, now he's going to get to keep $35 because the government's only going to require him to give him, to give him 90. So they were, well known for being dishonest and trying to collect extra taxes so they could get extra money. Verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, the Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. So after having a conversation with Jesus, Zacchaeus saw that what he'd been doing and being a dishonest tax collector was wrong, and he was going to make it all right. And so being a disciple of Christ might cost you monetarily. If you've been doing things dishonestly, then you're going to have to start doing things honestly. It might cost you some financial gain. It's going to cost you monetarily. How about this verse in Proverbs 11, verse 1? Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. You go to the grocery store, maybe you buy some bananas, and it's based upon weight. And the scales say you bought a pound of bananas. And you owe a certain amount. But really, what if the grocery store owner had rigged the scales so that really you only got 9/10 of a pound? Well, he's cheating you by 10%. You're only getting 9/10, but you're paying for a whole pound. So the Bible says dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. If you're that grocery store owner and you decide you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to have to quit rigging the scales, and it may cost you monetarily. But that's the price you're going to have to pay to be a disciple of Christ. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus to be his disciple. You have to follow his teachings. And that means being honest to a fault, we might say. If somebody gives you too much change at the cash register, you're going to say, you're going to give it back. You're not going to keep it, even though nobody would ever know about it. You're going to give it back. Let me illustrate this point with 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 is talking about modest apparel here. Let me read that. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Women, men too, but this passage is emphasizing that women are to dress modestly. And we know why. When a woman dresses immodestly, it causes a man, men, to lust. Matthew 5. 28. That's a violation of Matthew 5:28. So women should dress modestly. It's a sin on the part of a man to lust, but if a woman dresses immodestly, like maybe in a bikini or something, and causes that, she becomes a partaker in his evil deeds. She helped cause it. Suppose you have this gorgeous young lady, well built. She can, because she's so beautiful and gorgeous, she's going to be able to have a lucrative modeling career. Maybe she can make $1 million a year with a modeling career. But she refuses to do that because she's not willing to dress immodestly. She knows what the Bible teaches about dressing immodestly. She's not going to do it. And that's going to cost her $1 million a year. She's going to have to take another job, which pays a lot less money, even though she could have that lucrative modeling career, but she won't do it because she won't dress modestly, immodestly. Discipleship. See how it's going to cost her financially? Could. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. What about a young man? When I was growing up, I wanted to be an NFL football player. If I didn't make that, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. If I didn't make that, I wanted to be a NBA basketball player. Suppose a young man grows up and he's a great college football player, drafted in the first round in the NFL, but he may forego all those millions he can make as an NFL football player, because if you play in the NFL football league, you're going to have to miss church on Sunday. And he's not willing to do that. He's going to put God first. They play on Sundays. They have meetings leading up to the games. No way to go to church on Sundays if you're playing in the NFL. But Hebrews 10:25 says it's a command, not a recommendation, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This young man is going to forego making millions of dollars a year because he's going to put the Lord first before his football. Remember Matthew 6:33, talking about the necessities of life? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, referring to the necessities of life. Put God first. God will make sure we get the necessities. We won't necessarily be rich, but he'll make sure we get the necessities. This young man who's a great football player, he may have to forego millions of dollars per year because he's going to put God first, and he's going to make sure he's going to church instead of going playing football on Sundays. So being a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ's teachings, we study his teachings, we follow his teachings, may cost us monetarily. It might cost us some pleasures too. Well, it will cost us sinful pleasures. Let me read Hebrews 11:24-26 in this regard. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So here's Moses. He grows up as the adopted grandson of the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. And when he gets to be a young man, 18 or 20 years old, when he gets interested in that kind of thing, like young ladies, he can have all the wine, women, and song that he wants, but he refuses to partake of that because it says he has respect unto the recompense of the reward. I think it's talking about the same thing, reason we are willing to give up the pleasures of sin, because we're wanting to go to heaven. He was wanting to go to heaven, so he was willing to give up those pleasures of sin that he might could get, being the grandson of the king of Egypt. He chose rather to serve the Lord, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He's a good example of somebody who's willing to give up sinful pleasures to serve the Lord. We have some of these sinful pleasures, at least as far as the sexual idea. Mentioned in Galatians 5:19, it says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It goes on to verse 21 to say people guilty of such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Adultery, a man cheats on his wife. Fornication, maybe two young people have sex before marriage. Lasciviousness, maybe a man's looking at pornography. We have to give those things up if we're going to be a disciple of Christ. Maybe that we think of them as being pleasurable. We still have to give it up. A handsome young man who's used to getting sexually just about any girl he wants, he's going to have to give that up. If he's going to be a disciple of Christ, he's going to have to give up this pleasures he may be having, because sinful pleasures are not allowed under the auspices of being a disciple of Christ. Being a disciple of Christ might cost us monetarily. It will cost us sinful pleasures. And it might cost us our current religion or church. As I said, if the church you're part of is not following the truth, then it will cost you your current religion or church. If you're going to be a true disciple of Christ, you need to count the cost, as we said from Luke chapter 14. If you have a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. In John 8:31-32, let's read that. We read this as part of an intro to the program a lot. John 8:31, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You're only a true disciple if you continue in the word of Christ. It's not enough just to believe in him. You have to continue in his word to be a true disciple. All these different churches out there, all believing different things, teaching different things, but they can't all be disciples, because you're only his disciple if you continue in his word. And 2 + 2 can't equal 4 and 5 at the same time. Verse 32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, free from sin. Only following the truth will make us free from sin. following false teaching will not. If you're part of a congregation, a church that's not following the truth, and you want to be forgiven of your sins, freed from your sins, then you're going to have to get out of that church and start following the truth. If you have a number, a Bible question or comment, the number to call is 877-655-6755. You got a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. The number to call is 877-655-6755. Paul's a good example of somebody who was willing to leave his current religion or church to follow the truth. Let's read about Paul a little bit. Acts 26, verse 5, says this about Paul. Acts 26, verse 5, it says, "Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee." So Paul was part of the Jewish religion. He was of the strictest sect of that religion, a Pharisee. And Paul was sincere in what he was doing. It's not like he was a complete hypocrite. You know, he was doing what he thought was right. Acts 23:1 shows us this. "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, 'Men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God till this day.'" This was said after he was converted, but it reaches back to even before he was converted. He's saying, "Look, I lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Okay? So I thought when I was persecuting Christians, and he was persecuting Christians, he thought he was doing what was right. Does that mean since he was a religious person and he was doing what he thought was right, does that mean he was in a saved relationship with God? No. Ananias told him in Acts 22:16, "And now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He was still in his sins, even though he's religious, conscientious, sincere, very zealous for his religion. It didn't make any difference. He wasn't following the truth. If you're part of a religion, a church that's not following the truth, even if you're sincere, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be saved just because you're sincere. Paul was sincere. Paul wasn't saved, though. He needed to obey the gospel, become a Christian, to start following the truth. He needed to leave his current religion and start following the truth. Now, we have an example of some people who were in the same shoes as Paul, you might say, but they weren't willing to do what Paul did and leave their current religion or church. I'm looking at John 12, 42 and 43. It says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him," talking about believing on Jesus, "but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Here's some people, some chief rulers of the Jewish religion that believed in Jesus. They weren't willing to follow him. A lot of people think, well, all you got to do is believe in him. Well, these people believed in him. They weren't willing to confess him. They weren't willing to follow Jesus. They weren't willing to confess him. You know, they were scared of being put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to lose their position in the church they were in because they loved the praise of God more than the praise of men. So Paul was willing to leave his current religion or church to follow the truth. Ended up becoming a Christian and being forgiven of sins because of it. Here's some chief rulers. They're kind of like Paul. They were not willing to leave their current religion or church to follow the truth. That's part of the cost of being a disciple. Being a disciple of Christ might cost you your current religion or church if the church you're in is not following the truth. If it's just teaching a bunch of mumbo jumbo, that's not following the truth. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to follow his teachings. Like we said, being a follower of Gandhi, everybody understands that doesn't mean you believe Gandhi existed. I'm not a follower of Gandhi, but I believe he existed. Being a follower of Gandhi means you study his teachings and you follow his teachings. So to be a follower of Christ doesn't just mean you believe Jesus existed. It means you study Jesus' teachings, the Bible, and you follow his teachings. It's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to follow his teachings. Fourth point. If you want to be a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, it might cost you with your family. Matthew 10:37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You have to love Jesus more than your parents, more than your son or daughter, more than any family relationship. Your family relationships can't get in the way of you serving the Lord. Here's how Luke 18:29-30 puts that. He said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come everlasting life. We have to be willing to leave our parents, to leave our children, to leave our brethren, maybe even to leave our wife if we're in an unscriptural marriage, one that is called adulterous by Jesus in Matthew 19:9. We have to be willing to leave that to be a follower of Christ. Being a disciple of Christ may cost us relationships with family. For example, a person might put off obeying the gospel because he thinks it would cause friction with his parents or his girlfriend or spouse or his siblings or his children or his card game friends or his drinking buddies or friction at his job. We have to be willing to get out of our comfort zone, obey the gospel, the true gospel, and if it means it's going to cause friction with any of these relationships, well, so be it. Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We cannot be Jesus' disciple unless we love Jesus so much that our love for our parents and our family is called hate in comparison. We're going to choose Jesus over them every time. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. Give me a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Let's think about some challenging leadership to follow in this regard. How about John the Baptist? Mark 6:17-18. Herod had divorced his wife. Herodias had divorced her husband. Now they're married. Unscripturally, obviously, because John the Baptist, it says in Mark 6:17-18, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Obviously, he's expecting Herod to terminate the marriage, the relationship with Herodias. A lot of people say, God would never expect us to terminate a marriage. Yes, he would. If it's an unscriptural marriage, we see an example of this in the lifetime of John the Baptist. He's expected to terminate, Herod, this marriage to Herodias because it's an unscriptural marriage under the law he's under. If you find yourself in a marriage that violates Matthew 19:9, Jesus calls it adultery, you're going to have to get out of that marriage. Discipleship is going to cost you. How about Abraham? Genesis 22 was asked to offer his son as a sacrifice. He was willing to do that, if you remember Genesis 22. That's a pretty challenging example of leadership for us to follow. Are we willing to do something that hard? It would be awful hard. Abraham was willing to do that, to be a follower of God. And Jesus suffered an excruciatingly painful death in John 19. And we're the ones who benefited from it. He didn't benefit from it. He was willing to do that to save us, to follow his Father's wishes. Are we willing? There's the cost of being a disciple of Christ. Are we willing to pay the cost? We should be. Let's go back to Luke 14. Luke 14:33. Luke 14:33. We started with Luke 14:27. Luke 14:33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. The newer translations will say renounce. We have to be willing to renounce anything that's getting in between us and serving the Lord, no matter what it is. Let me read to you Matthew 16:24-26. Matthew 16:24-26. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We have to deny ourselves, follow Jesus, follow his teachings. If you try to save your life, and you'll lose it. If you lose your life, then you'll find it. Verse 25. What is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whatever we have to give up for the Lord will be worth it. Be worth it. If we try to save our life here and live it for ourselves, we're going to lose spiritual life. If you would like to have a free phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. Free phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience. Call or text me at 256-682-9753. 682-9753. Appreciate you listening tonight. Invite you to listen next week at the same time.